This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Book of Acts. We're going to be reading the first chapter, verses 1 through 8. We're in the book of Acts, verses 1 through 8. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many. Infallible proofs being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promises of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And may God bless this reading.
There was a book series that I read when I was a kid. I didn't read the entire series, but I remember reading the series. And I'd read a book, and at the end of the book, I would want to read the next one in the series, but the problem was the next book wasn't out yet. And so I had to wait with anticipation for that next book to come. And when that next book came, I couldn't wait till I could get it, open it up, and read it again. Sometimes we have that experience with, you know, movies. There might be a movie that we really love and enjoy, but there's a part two, and you can't wait till part two comes out. Well, sometimes what the creator of these movies would do is they would create what's called a trailer or a teaser or a teaser trailer, depending how you use it, though it's all the same. It'd be a synopsis of what to expect for the next movie. Or sometimes you'll be watching a series on television, and right at the end of the episode, there'll be this turn of events that you find unresolved, and oh, I can't wait till the next episode comes out. Well, we have before us the next episode, the next movie, the next book in the series of God's work in this world. And the beginning verses of this book are a synopsis of what to expect through the whole written book. Now we think to ourselves, you know, we in our 21st century have all these means of entertainment. We've got these books that we read and movies that we watch and shows that we watch and all this. And we think the ancient world, they didn't really have access to that. Well, they may not have had movies, but they had a ways of entertaining themselves. In fact, what was very common in the ancient world is they would gather together for a meal. And after the meal, somebody would come out with a scroll. And they would open up that scroll, and that somebody was able to read. Only 10% of the population could read in the Bible times. And so somebody would come out with this scroll, and they would read. And the people would sit down and listen. And oftentimes, these readings were about 2 hours long, about the time of a movie you'd watch. In the ancient world, we have this means, and God uses means to get his word across. So what we see with the book of Acts is part two. A number of years ago, we went through Luke, which would have been part one. Luke was the introduction to the person of Jesus Christ, how Jesus came to this world, how he lived a perfect life, how he taught about the kingdom of God, how he died on the cross for our sins, how he was buried in the tomb, and 3 days later rose again. And then at the end of that first part, we get a glimpse for what's to come, part two. In the book of Luke chapter 24, the Bible says this, these are the last verses of this book. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now when it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. That's the end of part one. Now, the same author who wrote that book of Luke was inspired by God to write part two. In verse one, we open up this with an introduction to a person by the name of Theophilus. "The former account I made, O Theophilus." O Theophilus. Theophilus means friend of God. He was likely a person who had means and wealth that Luke was giving this book to, hoping and asking that he would sponsor this and distribute it for others to hear. What likely would have happened is that you were a first century Gentile and you heard about Jesus and you knew this guy Theophilus. He invited you to his home. And you came to Theophilus' home and you sat down and you were given a meal, and the meal was great. But after the meal, somebody came out with a scroll. You would have known that this scroll would have cost thousands of dollars. It was a very expensive piece. This scroll would have been able to carry about 35,000 words, which is about the number of words the book of Acts contains. Luke wanted to use every space of that scroll that he had sponsored. And he would have opened up that scroll and he would have started reading. And you probably didn't know how to read. So you would have heard this story, this true story. And it would have started in verse 1, and a couple hours later it would have continued all the way to the end, and the scroll would have been rolled up. This is the message that God wants for the whole world to hear. And even though it was relevant to you in the first century, were you there? In the 21st century, it is equally as relevant, equally as powerful, for it is God's word for us. Luke is called the beloved physician in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. He was a follower, a companion of Paul. He was not a direct witness of Jesus Christ, but he was alongside those who were, and he investigated the claims of Christ, and he wrote them down as God inspired him. And here is the introduction. "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So what he's saying is, you know, you remember in the last time, as you know, if you watch a series, they'll say, you know, last time in this series. Well, what Luke is saying is, last time Jesus was crucified for our sins, but he rose again. Did you hear that? Jesus was dead. 3 days and three nights in the tomb. And on the third day, he rose again, and for 40 days, he taught the disciples the things of God. And now we have the synopsis of the whole book ahead of us. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now." So an overview of what we can expect in this true story for us today is this. God wants us to know, first thing, about the experience of the Spirit of God. Let me say that again. God, in the book of Acts, wants us to know about the experience of the Spirit of God. The highlight of this book that you are going to learn is that God sent His Holy Spirit to this earth to fill and dwell in the church, to empower the church to live for Him, to empower the church to do His will, to empower you to live a holy life for God, a life pleasing to God, to empower you to do the work that He has for you to do. He wants you to experience the Holy Spirit. You see, in the Old Testament, we see the highlight. The focus was God the Father, as revealed to the people of Israel. In the New Testament, the Gospels came the full revelation of God the Son through Jesus. And in the book of Acts, we are introduced to the full revelation of the Spirit of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. The Spirit of God infiltrates this world in a new way, and all God's people together are able and invited to experience the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was always there, always a character in God's story. But the highlight is in the book of Acts, and the purpose of the Spirit is to empower you to glorify and live for Jesus and make Jesus known. If you go back to John chapter 16, this is the book of Acts, the previous book is John. In John chapter 16, verse 8, we read this. We'll go to verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." Jesus is saying, "I'm going to go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come," that's the Holy Spirit, "He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, and He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you." Jesus promised that when the Spirit came, He would come into your life and make known the truths of this Word and empower you for the work of the ministry. God wants you to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. But you see, the problem, and we're going to address some of this as we go on, but the problem is this. We have a very diverse church of Jesus Christ in the world today, don't we? You go down any city, you go down any town, and you see church, 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 church. Different name, different denomination, different understanding of the Bible. But it's the same word. It's the same truth. The question is, does the church reflect the word of God? And so when we talk about the things like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, things like speaking in tongues, things like experiencing the Holy Spirit, there are diverse understandings of that. We have extremes in the church. There are some churches who are so focused on the Holy Spirit to such an unbiblical degree that in the meetings when they gather together, there are things like rolling on the ground and barking like dogs because they are slain in the Spirit or whatnot. And then you have this, it's a fleshly understanding of the experience of the Holy Spirit. It is a fleshly understanding. However, there's also another fleshly understanding of the Holy Spirit, and that's the opposite end of the spectrum. It is the church that is so against the work of the Spirit, so rigid in its understanding of the church. It may have the structure right, it may have the preaching of the truth, but there's no power from the Holy Spirit because the people are not open to the work of God. They want to do things themselves, and so they're firm in their own process of how to follow God, and that's equally of the flesh. We want to be a church that is open to the power of the Holy Spirit, but not of the flesh. Whether it be in our own rock-hard hearts that we see in some churches, or in our own fleshly demonic manifestations. We want to be, as we'll read, the church which is empowered through the Holy Spirit. Think about how these people, the apostles, they didn't have the money, they didn't have the means, they didn't have the marketing, they didn't have manipulation tactics, they just had God's Spirit. And how many churches are out there that if they would stop depending on money, stop depending on worldly marketing means, stop depending on manipulation, and just depend on God's Spirit, what a ripple effect of His kingdom would go on the communities. Amen? Amen. Now God uses means, He uses tactics, He uses things, but it must be through the power of His Spirit, and that's what we pursue. Amen? There are extremes, but we have the joy of learning what it means to experience the Holy Spirit. Do you, in your own walk with the Lord, experience the Holy Spirit in your life? I mean that. In my own life, in your own life, you can experience the Holy Spirit of God working in you and through you. This is not a fuzzy feeling. This is not a New Age stuff. This is God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is when you're in prayer, there's a sensation of presence, not a fuzzy feeling, but a reality. And that's what God wants us to experience through the grounding of His Word. You see, we worship the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't worship the Father, Son, and Holy Bible. But the Holy Bible is the revelation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So if something about the Holy Spirit contradicts the Holy Bible, that's not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The book of Acts explains to us the experience of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, look, if you will, as we continue. We read verse 5. Now we continue in verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the world. So we see here, not only will the book of Acts explain to us the experience of the Holy Spirit, but the book of Acts will also teach us about the expansion of the kingdom of God. The expansion of the kingdom of God. What we're going to discover is that it was God's intention way back from the beginning that all the earth would receive a message of salvation and an invitation to come and be a part of God's kingdom. You are here today, this morning, in this church, because somebody, through the Holy Spirit, shared the message of the kingdom of God to somebody else, and it ripple effect to the point where this building was created as a result, so that God's people could come and learn about Him and be equipped for Him, for His work. You are here because of the expansion of the kingdom of God, which started in Jerusalem, expanded to Samaria, expanded to the ends of the earth. And today it is all over the world. There are still areas that have not been reached. There are areas that are more closed, but look at where the kingdom has gone. Christians all over the world as a result of what God did through the early church. And God wants to continue that work in this church today. And wants to use you to expand the kingdom of God today, to invite people to receive forgiveness of sins, to have a hope of eternal life when you die, to have power today to live for God Almighty. He wants to invite you to that expansion. What we're going to learn is that there's this dynamic of Israel in the kingdom of God and the church in the kingdom of God. You see in verse 6, the disciples, or go back if you will to verse 3. It says that Jesus was talking to the disciples for 40 days about the kingdom of God. He was teaching them about the kingdom of God. At the end of the 40 days, we realize there was something that he did not teach them. He didn't teach them when the kingdom of God was going to be fully established. And he said, the disciples asked, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Now, it's very interesting that they, after walking with Jesus for 3.5 years or so, that they, after being with Jesus for 40 days, learning about the kingdom of God, it's interesting that they still believed that the kingdom of God was going to have a full reestablishment in Israel. They said, "Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are we going to have the Davidic kingdom that was promised to be for eternities in the future? Are we going to still experience this restoration?" They believed that the kingdom in the land of Israel was going to be reestablished as the kingdom of Israel, of God's people Israel. And Jesus, rather than looking at them and said, "Didn't you get it? It's not meant to be for Israel, but for the church. Where did you miss it?" He didn't look at them and say that. He said, "It's not for you to know the time." He said, "Trust me, it'll come when God is ready." And so that opens up a can of worms. Well, what does it mean? Is the nation of Israel today, is that the restored kingdom? What's going on here? Well, the Bible of Acts addresses that. And we'll see that the expansion of the kingdom was through Israel, for Israel, and we will see that the church is going to be a highlight of that whole dynamic. We are going to witness growth. If you are not sharing the kingdom of God to somebody else in your life, you are not a part of the expansion of the kingdom of God that He wants you to be. He wants every single individual who's a follower of Jesus Christ to be a part of bringing the kingdom of God to your neighbor, to your community. And we have a part in that. And if we follow God's means of expanding that kingdom, we will experience the fruit of His labor through us. Amen? We, in the book of Acts, will experience the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. In the book of Acts, we'll learn about the expansion of the kingdom of God. And finally, in the book of Acts, we will be taught the expectation of the people of God. We will be taught the expectation of the people of God. The book of Acts is a framework for us to learn how the people of God should operate. It is a standard. God inspired Luke to share with us, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, there are things in the book of Acts that should be a part of your life, should be a part of my life, should be a part of the life of the church. And if they're not, there's a problem. And we get to experience, learn about what God expects of the people of God. You see, look at this here. He said in verse 8, you shall receive power. You shall receive power. It is the expectation of the people of God to be empowered for the work of the ministry. We must be humbling ourselves and opening ourselves to the power of God to work through us. And we're going to see the biggest key to power is humility in prayer. You will see time and time again that the expectation is when God's people get together on their knees, power comes. You'll see that time and time again. That's the expectation of the people of God. You'll also see that the expectation of the people of God is to experience persecution. You'll see time and time again when the apostles brought the gospel to their neighbors, to the neighboring towns, to the neighboring cities, some received it with gladness, and God created a new church, and God created a mighty work and miracle, and people became saved. And you'll also experience the messengers got stoned by rocks. The messengers got killed sometimes. The messengers got booted out of the city. The messengers got persecuted by the community. It is the expectation of the people of God that if we are flourishing the way God wants us to flourish, we will see fruit as people get saved and are discipled, and we will see opposition. We will see persecution. And are we ready for that? Are we ready for our neighborhood to be frustrated with what God's doing in our church? Are we ready for the lives that will be absolutely changed and transformed as people hear the gospel and are saved and are discipled in this church? Are we ready? God has an expectation for the people of God. That word for witnesses in verse 8, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. That word in Greek is where we get the word for martyrs. You know, we talk about the martyrs of the faith, those who died in their work of sharing Jesus. And you'll see that there is going to be martyr after martyr after martyr of those who were sharing Christ to others around them. If God permitted for His kingdom that some of His servants, the 12 apostles specifically, nearly all of them, should be killed because they shared Jesus with others, how much more should we expect there to be some degree, some form of opposition as we share Jesus with our neighbors? Are we ready for that? We'll also see in the book of Acts the expectation of the people of God with how the church functions, the structure of the church, the life of the church as people meet together and gather together to grow, to be discipled. We'll see the roles of how people fit in to the body of Christ. Everybody has a role. It's not me and then the church. It's not elders and then the church. It's not deacons in the church. It's the body of Christ, and every single person who is saved here today has a role in the work of the ministry. You have a job that God wants you to do. And we can discover that individual task that God has for you as He's gifted you and enabled you to do His work. So, brothers and sisters, today there is an expectation for the people of God. Are we ready to discover it? Today there is a call for the expansion of the kingdom of God. Are we ready to allow God to let us be used to expand His kingdom of love and light that we just sang about? Oh, it's one thing to stand in a pew week after week, open up a hymnal and sing about the work of God and sing about the glory of God and sing about the expansion of the kingdom of God. But what about Monday? What about Tuesday? God doesn't stay here when you go out. God is with you wherever you go. And so every single day of your life is part of this great work of expanding the kingdom of God. And we'll learn about the experience of the Holy Spirit. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Well, imagine you're there in Theophilus' house and you just heard the book of Acts read. It took about 2 hours long. You read about the experience of the Holy Spirit. You heard about the expansion of the kingdom of God. You heard about the expectation of the church of God. Now what? Now what? It is now on you and it is now on me to bow the knee to King Jesus and say, "Yes, Lord, I'm in." Today is an invitation for you. Everybody here is from different backgrounds. Everybody here is from different upbringings. Everybody here has different histories. But there's one invitation coming out to you here this morning. Listen now. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Because the work God has for you does not begin until you are born again. Jesus taught, unless a man is born again, or a woman, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You see, there's a sin problem that is in all human hearts. We've sinned against God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the Bible says that despite the sin we've experienced, despite the judgment that is coming to this world to eliminate all sin, despite the coming eternal death in hell that is for all who reject God, despite that, Jesus came to this earth to take upon your sin on Himself. And so if you repent of sin, that is, turn from your sin, trust in Jesus, give your life to Jesus Christ, not working for it, but accepting it as a gift, if you do that today, here's the invitation. If you do that today, you're in. God will forgive you of your sins. God will cleanse you from your past. God will give you a new beginning. That's why it's called being born again, because you start over. You're forgiven. Have you experienced that? Today's the invitation for you to come in and become a child of God, a part of His kingdom, and receive a new purpose in life and a hope for eternal life. Amen. If you know Jesus, today's the invitation for you to assess your life as I'm assessing my life and see, am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I a part of God's plan for my life? Am I fulfilling His mission for me? Or am I caught up in the world and the distractions? Let us seek the Lord together as we submit to His teaching. Amen. And let us sit and listen like Mary at the feet of Jesus as we hear the true story in Acts. Amen. Heavenly Father, there might be someone in this room who is, Your Spirit is working in their heart. Your Holy Spirit is showing them they need You, that they haven't yet laid down their life. Each of us who know you, you know that there was a time, whether it was a day or a period of time, there was a time when we had to lay down our lives and receive you as Lord of our lives, as Savior of our lives, and give our lives to you. I pray, Father, for that individual who needs salvation. If that's you here this morning, pray this with me. Say, Dear God, I come to you here this morning. I have sinned against you. I've been living for myself. I heard a message that Jesus died for my sins. I turn from my sin. I accept by faith that free gift of salvation. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I will now follow you every day of my life. If you've prayed that prayer this morning, you will receive the Holy Spirit. You will be born again. If you have prayed that prayer, come and see me after the service. I want to talk to you and invite you to this path of discipleship. We've all been there. Heavenly Father, bless us as we go from this meeting and empower us for your work. In Jesus' name, all God's people together say, Amen.